Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dubow, he is an Associated Press sports writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Josh Dubow AP. That's D-U-B-O-W. Josh, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you guys doing tonight?
No complaints over here. I want to start with this. Based on kind of the quality of the games and sort of where the teams are going, were you surprised that the discrepancy of Pro Bowlers from the Niners to the Raiders was only 3-2?
No, not really. The Pro Bowl, so much of its reputation and past performance as opposed to what you did this year. And a lot of the Raiders players who had the best seasons had them at positions that are tough to compete. You know, there are obviously a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of receivers, so it's tough for Carr or Cooper to make the Pro Bowl. So yeah, it doesn't really surprise me much.
Josh, speaking of Carr and Cooper, what where would you rank them as quarterback wide receiver tandem in the NFL right now? Because to me, nobody cares. They're top five. Would you think I'm that's a little high?
Yeah, I think you're probably a little high at this point. So I think they still got a little more to prove. You got some guys like Roethlisberger and Bryant. You've got Brady and Edelman. You've got Russell Wilson, and Doug Baldwin. Even you got a lot of. A lot of other combinations who've done it for longer and done it at a higher level than those guys. But I think they definitely have the potential to be in there in the next few years.
That being said, Josh, how many of these guys do you think, you know how the Pro Bowl works in terms of them having alternates and guys dropping off and guys getting hurt and guys being in the Super Bowl so they can't actually play in the game. How many more Raiders could you see being added versus how many more Niners could you see being added? I got none for the Niners, and I think you could go as high as four maybe for the Raiders in terms of Carr, Cooper, Crabtree, and Latavius Murray.
Well, I think I saw Alex Boone was the only alternate for the Niners, so it just depends on who gets hurt, who decides not, doesn't want to go, who's in the Super Bowl, things like that. For the Raiders, I think Carr, Cooper, Murray, I think are all guys who would have a chance. I think they're all alternates that have a chance to go. Just so much of that just depends on circumstance and that, not necessarily about their ability at this point.
What were your thoughts on the Odell Beckham suspension and the whole annex between him and Norman?
Well, I didn't see all of this as I was at the Raider game, but from the little I saw, it seemed that it was the suspension was warranted. But I didn't really get to watch that game too closely, so I don't have too many opinions on that one.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was more MMA than it was NFL football. Josh Dubow joins us, Associated Press sports writer. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah here on 95.7 The Game. Josh, when you take a look at the Niners and what they have going on over there in terms of the coaching change, which was a debacle, all of the guys that left the team, just how bad they are now, the banners getting flown over the stadium, and I'm not normally in favor of going one and done in terms of coaching hires, but this seems to beg that sort of situation. How do you see that playing out? I know they all signed 3-4 year deals, so it's probably not probable, but if you were the one running things over there, is that what you would do?
Well, I'm glad I'm not the one running things over there, and I've not spent much time around the Niners. I spend most of my time with the Raiders, so I'm not real sure what they're going to be doing. I haven't talked to people down there. I think I've only been down there once this year, so I'm probably not the person to ask about Niner inside Niner stuff.
When you look at the Raiders season, we know they came off a 3-win campaign last year. I've been telling my co-hosts we can count about 6 games where they could have won. You win half of those 6, you're in the playoffs now. Do you look at this season as a success just because you won more than 3, or do you look at it like, you know what, we left a lot of meat on the bone and we could have been in the playoffs?
Well, the interesting thing this year is every game since the opener, they've had the ball in the fourth quarter either with the lead or down by 7 points. So they've been, other than the Cincinnati game, the opener where they got blown out, they've been in every game and had a chance to win every game. And obviously they've only won 6 of them. So, there are 7 others that they've lost where, they had a chance to win if they could have made some plays. So I think you know, it's hard to call a season a success in the NFL when you don't make the playoffs. You know, you don't get participation trophies in the NFL. But I think the positive for the Raiders is less about how well they've played and that. It's the fact that they have pieces they can build around for the future. You know, they have Carr, they have Cooper, they have Murray, they have Mack. They have guys who are going to be part of this when they do turn, you know, fully turn this around, who are going to be major contributors, and they've identified them. So now Reggie McKenzie can head into this offseason, and, you know, instead of having almost a whole roster he's got to fill, now he's got some targeted positions that he can go after, and that maybe will allow them to make the next step.
I saw you tweet out, and I made the joke, Marcel Reese should probably buy a house in Hawaii or wherever the hell they're going to have the game, because he's always in the Pro Bowl. He earned a Pro Bowl spot while playing in only 26.2% of Raiders' offensive snaps. Have you ever seen that before? How impressive is that?
Well, I think it just speaks to the fact that there, a lot of teams don't use fullbacks at all. The fullbacks who do get used don't get the ball very much. So, you know, he's got the reputation of a Pro Bowler, and when especially when the players and coaches who, you know, haven't played the Raiders start looking at numbers, he's going to be up there in terms of numbers for fullbacks, because a lot of teams either don't use fullbacks, or if they do, they're just blocking guys. So that's more of a probably a reflection of the position than it is a reflection of him.
I'm sure you heard the news yesterday that Charles Woodson will retire at the end of this season. When you think of his career, do you think his best moments have come as a Raider or a Packer?
I'm a little partial. I think his best moments came at Michigan, because that's where I went to school. But if you're talking about the NFL, you got to say his best moments came as the Packers. You know, he won the Super Bowl with the Packers. He won Defensive Player of the Year with the Packers. You know, he's had a lot of great moments with the Raiders, but I think his best, his handful of best seasons probably were in Green Bay, but that's not to take away. You know, he obviously did a lot, and played with the Raiders a lot longer, and sure did a lot during those years too.
So the Raiders got three Pro Bowlers in. They have three alternates in Carr, Cooper, and Murray. I lead with that to say, what do you think they're going to end up doing with Reggie McKenzie? His contract is up. He obviously, record-wise, has not done well, but in terms of what he inherited and in terms of how they look now in being on the upswing, how do you think they're going to handle that?
I think they're just going to go ahead. You know, I think they like the direction they're heading, and they're going to keep things going in that direction. I think, you know, I'd be shocked if things change that way. I think Reggie will go into the offseason as GM. I think Jack's obviously going to stay on as coach, and, you know, I think they're just going to head and try to build off the positives they had this year and try to take that to the next level next year.
Looking at the Raiders, once the season's complete, which area of the team do you think needs the most attention?
I think clearly it's the secondary. It was probably the weakest spot on the team this year. Now, and, you know, Woodson is either the best or the second best player in that secondary, and he won't be back. You know, essentially you're going into next year, they got a great find in David Amerson. He's been fantastic, especially the last 5 or 6 weeks, coming off a waiver claim. You know, I think they probably are slotting him in as a starter next year. But I think in terms of the other three spots in the secondary, I don't think they necessarily – they might not have those guys on their team right now. Like, you know, Nate Allen could be back, but obviously he's been hurt all year and hasn't really done much. You know, T.J. Carey, is he a cornerback? Is he a safety? Is he – is he a nickelback? I think they're still figuring that out. DJ Hayden, has obviously gotten benched. So I think they probably need two more cornerbacks and two more safeties to go along with Carey and Amerson and sort of build that secondary. That's got to be the number one focus, I would think.
What do you think the plan is with Aldon Smith? Obviously suspended for a calendar year, but how will that kind of affect where they want to go? I mean, do you think he's going to come back to the Raiders? I know he said that he had appreciation for the organization. He obviously was playing pretty well before the suspension came down. But do they just plan on getting him back when his suspension is up, or do they? I mean, what do you do there? I mean, it's kind of an unprecedented sort of situation.
Yeah, I don't think you really plan on anything with him. It's one thing that's improved with Aldon is you can't plan on him staying out of trouble at this point. So it's hard to plan on him being there in November, because it's a 1 year calendar suspension, but there's no guarantee. But if he does anything wrong during that year, there's no guarantee he's gonna be allowed back in at that point. So, I think they'd like to bring him back. I think he'd like to be back, but I don't think, in terms of your plans for next year, I don't think he's necessarily part of the plans. I think it's more you get to October and he's gotten his reinstatement for November, and it's like, okay, we can go sign him, and he can be a nice addition late in the season. But I can't imagine they can go into next season counting on Alden doing much. Most he's going to play 6 or 7 games after missing all camp and all summer. I don't know how much you can necessarily count on him contributing, even if everything goes well, he's healthy, he stays out of trouble and all that. So I think he's more of a luxury addition at that point than he is someone you're counting on.
Josh Dubo, Associated Press sports writer. Follow him on Twitter at Josh Dubo AP. Thanks for joining us, Josh.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
There you go, Josh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.